When purpose become life, my purpose has changed. I still love coffee and I'm still going to keep a hand in it, but I just need to do something else, you know? I think it's just a normal human evolution. But I'm a traveler, okay? But this time I was traveling with a view to not, you know, sitting under a coconut tree at the beach or swimming with turtles. I was like, you know, this is a people trip. I wasn't trying to escape. It wasn't a holiday, this one. You know, it was a voyage. I'm glad we're getting to this age now, actually, in general. There are people actually appreciating themselves more. I think they call it self-love, you know?
Good evening. It's a great pleasure to welcome you back to a updated podcast. So now one-on-one is called A Table for Two, because a lot of people always thought that, you know, it was called A Table for Two in the podcast from the beginning, so why not go straight to the point? But in terms of the subject, or in terms of the approach, there's a bit of a change, and here we're going to be talking more about the path that people take and when purpose becomes life. And I've had the chance to interview it was the second guest, actually, of the one-on-one podcast, the podcast that I've done on with A Table for Two, and his name is Shana Galhenage. Good evening, Shana.
Good evening. Thanks for having me back for a third time.
Yes, and Shana is a very, very special person. So first of all, he's one of the how would you say? He's one of the person that helped introduce specialty coffee in Paris. One of the persons. You. I'm good with that. Yes. Okay. With Lustique, yes. Cafe.
Yeah, one of the first wave for people.
Yes. With Cafe Lustique. So when we spoke, it was during the pandemic. That was the first time, and then we spoke a second time, which was after the pandemic. So a lot of things evolved, and you can check both of the recordings and both podcasts, and you'll see that evolution. And now there's even something more happening. And so it is a great pleasure to welcome you back, because there's a new phase in your life right now, and there's a lot of things happening since last time. Just keep us up to date a little bit. What's going on?
Yes, sir. So as you know, my cafe was called Lustique. I have kept the name after 12 years of specialty coffee and in two locations, one in Paris, Lustique Paris, and one in Marseille. I've decided to grow up a little bit. And I'm going to pivot keep the brand, Lustique, the name, because it's associated with me, because it, you know, Lustique means smart ass in Breton, and it's been my brand for almost 12 years, and pivot to a project that that's been in the back of my mind since 2016, which is going into wine, going into natural wine. So as I say, it's like growing up. Do you know what I mean? I started with coffee and now I'm going into wine, which sort of better befits my sort of middle-aged semi-alcoholic state. That last part is a joke, but right? Because I'm turning 53 this year.
We're the same age.
I think that, are we really?
Yeah.
Gosh, Generation X, we're so young and gorgeous, aren't we?
Yes, we are so great.
Aren't we?
Yes, yeah, we are. Anyway.
So I think I believe I'm the first specialty coffee person in France and probably even beyond to actually make a clean cut and go from specialty coffee to wine. I mean, there are a lot of similarities between that, because we're talking about a palate and we're talking about different produits de terroir. There's a lot of similarities. The thing is that the wine part, obviously, as opposed to the barista part, doesn't have the physical technicalities. Being a barista is a fully trained sort of métier, you know, whereas when you're opening, well, wine is more intellectual, because all you have to do is open the wine, right?
Yes, and to pour it is like
carafe.
Yeah, anyone can do it. Just
correct.
There's no latte, there's no milk that you put or
correct
foam in it.
Or extraction, and there's no dialing in grinders, and it's very technical, and that's why it's difficult.
Even though there's temperature that plays a role, decanting can play a role as well. So there's a bit of technicality in serving.
There certainly is. But it's far more intellectual, I would say, wine. And you've got to know your onions, as we say, or your grapes, if you like. Because if you don't, you can be very, very quickly found out in wine.
You did work in wine before.
I did it simultaneously. I haven't worked professionally in wine, but I did do a wine pop-up for baristas between 2016 and 17 in different places. And that's where, and this is where I started my interest, furthering my interest in especially natural wines and biodynamic wines now. I mean, and everything's just changed in these last 7 years, because back then, even the process and the taste of the wines were different to now. They weren't, back then it was like 50-50. It was really hit and miss between natural wines, between whether they're well processed or not. They were a lot more sauvage, a bit wild. You know what I mean? I mean, it was like doing a drug deal on the street almost. You never know what you were going to get. Do you know what I mean? When you open the bottle, it was like that back then. And very quickly, winemakers have sharpened their craft. We can see that, the same winemakers that were a bit sort of hit and miss or dodgy in the past, they've become a lot better. And the wines become better as well as they've learned how to master their winemaking techniques. Because they're not adding sulfates to their wines to basically get a desired result and round off the edges. Obviously, it's much harder. It's a much more organic process. You know what I mean? Of course, it's much more risky.
In terms of the decision to change, because you've been with Lustig for 10, 12 years now, how did the moment come when you realized that, okay, that's it, I need to turn the page? Because when we talk about purpose becoming life, and there's always those things, and we mentioned a bit earlier before we started about ikigai and the centeredness and finding your raison d'être and your why and why you're doing things, et cetera, et cetera. But there's one thing which is actually to read about it or think about it, and the other one is actually to do it, because having a purpose in life is not just pick and choose something and just do it for, a short while and move on to something different. It is a path. And in your case, you made a decision to evolve. I mean, you're still within the same industry, I'm going to say, because it's hospitality and you're going to take care of people. Now, instead of waking them up, you're going to make them smile a bit more, probably with the
And you send them home in a taxi, if you like.
wines. Yeah, something like
Yeah.
that. Yeah. So that decision, that moment that you that that where you decided to move on, how did it come about, and how did you feel about it?
This has been sort of fermenting for a while. It wasn't just one day that I decided that, I didn't have a kind of Joan of Arc moment, just all of a sudden, just wake up and think, oh, yeah, no, I'm going to do it, It's been fermenting for a lot of time, but a lot of factors have contributed to this over several years. And it's pertinent that you and I spoke for the very first time during the very first lockdown, which was exactly 4 years ago this month, April 2020. That's when we spoke. The change has been on my mind for a little bit, but it's the post-COVID environment that has changed the context of the restaurant business. Consumer habits. COVID has changed things, the rhythm of inner cities definitively, meaning people were working from home. Lustig was in the inner city, in the Marais, in the center of Paris, right? People used to come in for work, meetings, all these sorts of things before COVID, right? So I use the terms BC before COVID and AC after COVID. But anyway, so what happened was afterwards, people started working from home. And people weren't coming into the center of cities as frequently. Lustig, a coffee shop, is a business that operates daytime hours and serves. It's even though it's open 7 days a week, was Monday to Friday, it served the business community mostly, people working. And of course, business fell off a little bit because people were working from home on Mondays and Fridays, so they still are. So this working from home, even though it's very convenient, is changing the ecosystem of inner cities. And conversely, it's actually expanding some businesses in the suburbs or other residential areas where people live. That was one of the reasons I decided to make the change. Another one was that just out of sheer, after a decade, I wanted to change
Why?
because intellectually, I didn't want to do the same thing. Also, I found that now there's a new generation of coffee shops opening in Paris with these kind of young whippersnappers who are like sort of 20, as young as 23, 22, 23, 24, who were in middle school, some of them, or when I opened. So it's time for that. And there's a new style coffee shop that in Paris that's coming along, and it's all, it all looks a bit Brooklyn, and it's all quite hipster, and it's all quite this and that. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, it's got this style, this new style that's coming in here. So it's a new generation who are, who have, and their customers as well are also around the same age in their 20s. Okay. And in France, this is, these are people who grew up watching latte art videos on YouTube, or seeing it, or experiencing it, or who've traveled, and all that. So we're talking about a particularly French context as well, because some of these kids have traveled as well and seen this. So these are some of the new followers, and the image is kind of great for all of them. They're all wearing Brooklyn beanies, and they're all looking sharp, or they're all looking fashion or communication, or pretending to. And there's the new generation of coffee shops in Paris, right?
And you don't see yourself in that.
I'm too old. Think, but also, I just, I'm just going to leave it to the next generation. I've done my bit, and also, I think I'm just, I still love coffee, and I'm still going to keep a hand in it. But I just need to do something else. I think it's just a normal human evolution. When purpose become life, my purpose has changed.
Yeah, but what is the drive to? Okay, there's the environment, the business environment,
Correct.
which makes it a bit more complicated, etc.
Yeah.
There's the new generation of drinkers, coffee drinkers that you don't really relate to, pass on to the next generation. Fair enough. There must be something else.
There's a change of intellectual interest. There's
Okay.
also my coffee business, because it was in a back street in a medieval area of Paris. There was no outdoor terrace, which in Southern Europe you absolutely need an outdoor area. There's climate change, which is means that the summers are getting the warmer weather is has extended to longer periods. So of course, if you don't have a terrace, you lose business to other people. My business worked less in summer than it did in winter, for example, because of its location and its kind of style as well. It's very cozy, right? So I want to reverse that as well. I want to, I just want to, I just want to work in a place where, I mean, after work. So if you've, 6 and 9 p.m., for example, aperol, especially in spring and summer, autumn in Paris, is a very joyous time as well. So I want to capture a little bit of that joy as well. And that's another reason. Also, yeah, I mean, after a decade of doing I'm sort of on a kind of robot mode. You know what I mean? I mean, you're answering the same questions. Is coffee menus are very coffee is the hardest product in the world to order as well, right? I mean, there's so many permutations of the same drink. With it be it could be a a cafe latte, it could be a flat white, it could be a it could be a cafe crème, it could be a, what macchiato is a three different bizarre things. The word is used for three wildly different drinks, at least in the world. Do you know what I mean? And it's a when you're in Paris, which is the most visited city in the world, you've got to accommodate and understand some of these permutations, because 50% of the clientele are foreign. Do you know what I mean? Either
Yes.
foreigners or tourists and all that, and plus the locals. And kind of it ends up driving you mad a little bit, because you're kind of playing doctor barista to everybody and trying to find out their needs. You know what I mean? You're trying to find out where they're. You're just checking everything, because the terminology isn't uniform. I suppose it's just you've got to. Whereas with wine, it's much easier as well. It's a different game as well. So I think, I'm just I don't want to be that guy. There's the famous examples of sushi masters, real sushi masters in Japan,
Yes.
right? Who aren't allowed to touch the fish until they've done 10 years making the rice. I don't know whether it's a myth or not, but I like the story. Okay. But I can believe this being Japan, I can believe it, right?
Yes. They do that. There was a documentary on that. The Dream of Iwo Jiro or something like that. Yes,
Okay.
yes. Yeah, there was a documentary on that.
So I've done my 10 years of rice.
Yes. It's time to graduate and touch the fish.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to that part. In the meantime, okay, you went across the world. You did a world tour.
Correct.
So when you go to all these different places, different cultures, different, so you've been traveling a lot in the past, but this one was different in terms of time, in terms of length, in terms of distances and everything like that. So when you embark on such a trip, how do you see your life after that? Because they always say that sometimes trips are life changing, But when you go through all these different cultures, Thailand, Australia, Japan, the US,
India.
India, very different in terms of culture.
Yes.
How does it transform you in a way? How do you see the world after that? How do you see your life after that?
Life is beautiful. The world is beautiful. And I feel extremely fortunate and lucky to have done this trip, which took 6 weeks, 14 flights, five countries, seeing some friends, some family, experience doing cooking school in Delhi and Tandoori, doing a cooking school in Bangkok as well. My mind now is back. It's settled down because I've been back just over 2 weeks. But a good friend of mine said, "Your mind must be like a snow dome that's been shaken. You know, a snow dome, a tourist
Yeah.
little snowball. You know what I mean? That's been shaken, which is beautiful. A beautiful analogy because that's how it felt like. I was actually just my body didn't know what time zone it was in. My mind was, you know, my memories were an amalgamation of five different cultures." Once I used to have, you know, like little flashbacks, nice little flashbacks from just different countries, different situations. You know what I mean? So it's quite hardcore. I feel very fortunate, very especially because I documented the travel on the Lustig Instagram. And what I tried to do, I don't know whether I succeeded or failed or not, but really the feed was good. Was try and put somebody in my place and to see, give them an idea of where I was visiting. You know, at least they could see some of the back alleys of Delhi, or they could see the Tandoori school of course I was doing, or some of the cooking schools, or some or Japan, or a little bit of Australia and the United States. And do you know what I mean? And just I just wanted people to travel with me. I didn't want to, I mean, a lot of people assumed I was doing it for the new project, okay? But you know, I mean, I suppose yeah, but that wasn't the goal. I was You know, people thought I was doing a best practice type of mission, right? I certainly was looking at things and how people were doing it and getting some ideas and all that. But I think there's going to be some subtle things. And it was more design, if it were in that context, because the other thing about traveling is that you have to eat a lot, which, you know, sometimes you just miss home cooked food, but you do have to eat a lot. And so, but the main thing was kind of decor and lighting and ambience and all that, because what I'm about to come up with next is, you know, the theme for the new Lustig is, which was the same as the other one, but it's, I need to work a little bit, is that, you know, making people feel loved, right?
Why is it important?
It's because that's what hospitality is, right? But my concept, I don't want to just set up another wine bar. But having said that, I'm not going to set up a wine bar that's a gimmick either. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
At the same time. But I just want to tweak it a little bit so that, for example, I noticed as a solo traveler, which I'm a traveler. Again, I'm quite happy with that. And I like meeting people on the road and talking to bar people and all that. But I do want to focus on you know, what's the purpose of a wine bar or a nighttime bar is to, it's for people to gather to have a good time, for people to unwind, for people to bring their dates or their other halves to, for people to possibly meet other people, or for, and you know, the last category is for people who are either solo travelers or people who come alone for whatever reason, or couples who are visiting to just get a gauge of the local lifestyle. And it's that last point, I want to also make sure that those people who come and they don't know anybody are looked after if they want to be, right? I want them to feel loved.
When you did your travel, and as we mentioned, looking at all those different cultures that you went through, and you were thinking about the project, and you were thinking about, you know, that mood and environment, and those values that you want to bring within it. But for you as a person, the travel that you've done this time, at your age,
True.
after the experiences you've had, have you looked at it in a different way, that if you had done it 20 years ago, or before you had done it with Lustig, or in terms of how you experience the people you met, and the experiences you had, and the kind of food you ate, and the kind of environment, and friendship, and all these aspects? Do you see that differently now?
Much more differently. I mean, firstly, there's the ego part. Okay, I sold the cafe. I didn't have any regrets about it at the end. I was a bit fearful of losing it, a few months ago, but now I have no regrets. I felt an enormous sense of accomplishment, first and foremost, by just selling it and trying to do something new, and especially at my age, that's kind of a little bit present. But I'm in excellent health. I'm hyperactive, as you know, and I'm still very motivated and I'm still very optimistic about the future. But I did have to digest the past a lot.
Did the trip help you to do that?
Yeah, it helped. It's not over yet, but it is. I'm finding it's starting to happen now, actually, because I'm back home. And I've started working for other people now as well, doing extras to learn for the new project. But so firstly, the first and foremost, the overwhelming sense of accomplishment, because the good thing is that, I mean, and the good thing about Instagram, I have to say, and being in these days, is that you can turn up not knowing anybody anywhere in the world in a restaurant capacity. You can introduce yourself to anybody. Yeah, I've got a, you know, I used to have a cafe in Paris, specialty coffee and all that. And then you show them the Instagram or whatnot, and Paris plus that, and you're automatically welcomed. That's very gratifying.
It's nice.
Yeah, and that's always been the case for all of these 10, 11 years. Is that you go to anywhere in the world, and it's like I kind of often joke that specialty coffee, we're like the Freemasons of coffee. You go to anywhere, anywhere, and you say, I used to have a coffee shop, and I'm getting it wide and all that, and people welcome you open everywhere, right? And especially the best reaction in Japan, like United States, big time for sure, right? They were really, I mean, those two countries in particular were like very, very welcoming once I said I had a place in Paris, right? That's enormously gratifying for all that hard work because, I mean, people think, okay, I mean, as we know, social media is only one part of life. It's only it only shows mostly the good part, but it doesn't show, me working 6 days a week, except for school holidays for 11 years, right? It didn't show me opening a cafe 770 kilometers from my home, the second one. It didn't show all that work and managing and alone as well, because I don't have any business partners, right? Okay, so that comes under gratification, right? I have felt I had more when I was talking to people. I felt I had more confidence about what I'd achieved, but it was also weird talking about the past tense. Do you know what I mean? Because then I had to change because I spent all that time saying I have a cafe to I had one, right?
Yes.
And I was wondering how that was going to come across. As for ideas, no, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Any period of change entails fear, right? Brings fear with it. So I was, a bit fearful. Because I'm thinking, well, what's going to happen to me? I know, and I had to know that to get forward, I have to learn. I have to learn new skills. I have to learn more things and get jobs and ask people do something I haven't done, which is work for other people.
That's how you dealt with the fear, or there was other ways that you dealt with the
I
fear,
can
or
only do it now. The fear is only subsiding now because I'm actually taking action. But when I was on holiday, of course, through the my on my trip. Of course, I was just, yeah, obviously, it was just milling through my head. What if I'm too old to do this? How am I going to be perceived doing this? Is this a thing for young people or not? Is this, what is my added value to this project? You know what I mean? What am I going to do different? It's always going through that. What kind of food am I going to be doing a bit differently? You know what I mean? So it's not going to be considered a middle-aged gimmick, or it's not considered just another boring project, or do you know what I mean? I suppose it's that kind of a slight imposter syndrome, am I
yes.
good enough? And there's only one way to do it. And I forget that actually, because my entry into Lustig as well, I was in the same position, right?
Yes.
But it was a perfect storm in the end because I spent 4 years learning the skills. And once it didn't happen, then it all happened well. The opening was great and the start as well. But then after that, you still keep learning. Do you know what I mean? We changed a lot after a couple of years because when we, now I realize we knew when we opened in March 2013, we knew a little bit more than anyone else in coffee, most other people in coffee in France. But looking back now, we didn't know anything, because also education and things around that time, because it was a bit like the zeitgeist in specialty coffee. 2013 was a big year for specialty coffee, okay, in terms of the advances in knowledge that came through, like weigh just stupid things that sound stupid, but weighing coffee and ratios and coffee recipes that came around at that time, right? All at the same time. So it was a huge period to come out of specialty coffee, okay? So I'm going through this now with wine, meaning that there have been advances, things are changing. I'm not the first, but you don't have to be. But I want to fill in some gaps. And also, I feel that in Paris, I think we have some very nice places, but I think there are one or two things we can do better.
How do you see your path from now on for the next, wait, Lustig was 11 years. How do you see your next 11 years?
Excellent. Oh, God. I haven't thought about that. No,
Sorry to break it down to
that's
you.
fine. How do I see my next 11 years? Haven't thought that far ahead.
Okay, 5 years.
But I, yeah, so I want to set up a world-class wine bar in Paris, right? I wanted to introduce one or two things which I won't talk about now because they're a little bit weirdly, they're not in Paris, but they're elsewhere.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah,
That I
no
want to bring
problem. We'll do a fourth one.
to them. But if we have a fourth occasion, or
Yeah,
fifth
we'll
one,
do
I'll talk about, right?
that.
But I've given it a little clue. I'm going to look after a certain segment that needs looking after as well. The solo visitor, solo traveler, right? That's also going to be included as part of the others as well, like in a Japanese style sense, in a Japanese style. I suppose I don't really know the term, but it's not going to be that concept. But when you go to Japan and they have a bar with eight seats in it, right? And all those eight people are looked after, right? That's where I want to go. But it's not going to be an eight-seater bar. It's going to be a proper, a normal bar, right? But the towers, but yeah, meaning that because in those bars in Japan, everyone gets looked after. If you want to be spoken to, you will be. If you want to be, you want to be. And that actually was the success of Lustig Coffee Shop. I used to talk to people all the time because it was like a living room. It was designed a little bit like a living room. Okay. So, and I know that if you live there or you don't, and you come in and you feel like, being, having a bit of attention, you'll be looked after. And it's those experiences that you're going to walk out with and make you come
Yes.
back, right?
In the past, in the last podcast,
Yeah.
you said that you're in the entertainment business.
Correct.
Still are?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hospitality is entertainment, right? Big time. But I think this one, it still will be because except I think at this time, it could be with certain people, it could be a little bit more intimate without sounding sleazy about it. You know what I mean? Because it's
Yeah, I
nighttime,
get you.
right? It's a different time of the day. It's a different ambience. People have let their guard down a little bit. It's but you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I mean, the whole idea is to also, it's different to coffee as well, because coffee's a drug. And, people at their gym a day, people are more concentrating on other things. They have time limits and all that. At night, what I'd like to do is keep people there all night and look after them,
Yeah, that's a it's nice it's a nice
I don't want to
objective.
get people who are like, I mean, you can find this a lot in America, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, well, let's cross off the five places on the list, do you know what I mean? This is maybe young people and all that sort of stuff. But no, I mean, yeah, no, keep them there all night, make sure they have a good time, send them home in a taxi or an ambulance. No, that was a joke. Right? Yeah.
Sounds good.
So,
Sounds good.
but if I knew 100% what I was doing, Antoine, I'd be lying. Okay, I'm still figuring that out. But this trip has crystallized the basic outline of what I want to do now.
Yeah, usually when you get out of the environment in which you live in and you're thrown out into places that are so different, there's some coping mechanism that come out and some of the your deep understanding of how the world works and your reactions and your character and all of these things come to the fore. So if you were questioning some of these, which probably not, getting at with the experience that you have, but still you may be surprised by how things are evolving and doing trips like these are important for that. It's a, not going to say it's a rite of passage, but it's important to know where you stand, and going away sometimes
Absolutely.
is a good way to do that.
I think it's the only way, actually, Antoine. I think it's a good get a perspective, especially I learned a lot how other customers are because the thing is we're used to having them in Paris and we didn't understand where what it was like in their countries and how they did things, especially for me, especially Americans did how they were doing things. And I've got a much better understanding of how it happens and what happens in different countries. You know what I mean? Because Paris is the most visited city in the world. Okay. And so we do get everybody, right? And it's quite striking when you visit other cities how international we actually are. Yeah, Paris and London are definitely very 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 mixed. I'm sure New York is as well, but because New York, you don't see it as well, I don't know. I was in Brooklyn this time, right? It doesn't, you don't see, it doesn't feel international, Brooklyn, right? I didn't go to Manhattan this time, right? None of the American cities, major American cities, up to like San Diego, Los Angeles, Seattle, New York, felt like they had this big international population in them. But having said that, I was there in I was there in March, okay, which is low season. So travel definitely opens your perspective because we all know it broadens your mind. But this time I did really get to see. There's two ways of seeing, but you go. There's two ways of understanding people, and when you're sitting in one spot and you're receiving them, that's not really understanding them, right?
Yes.
That's what I found. That's what the difference was to me. And I'm a traveler, okay. But this time I was traveling with a view to not, sitting under a coconut tree at the beach or swimming with turtles. I was like, this is a people trip. Do you know what I mean? For
Yeah.
sure.
Getting immersed, trying to understand the
Correct.
others. About
I
the
was.
others. It's about the others.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's much more of a focus on that this time.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to escape when I was going on holiday. It wasn't a holiday, this one. It was a voyage.
Nice. Before going to the Pivot questionnaire, did your definition of what is a successful life, what is success, has it evolved? Okay, we're going to put like three milestones. Okay. The first one was when you started Lustig. The second was when you closed Lustig. And the third one is coming back from the trip and embarking on that new adventure.
When I opened Lustig, it was very, very fulfilling. When you open a business, any type of business, and you're the head of it, it's a big ego boost, especially if it works well. Okay, it really is, and not in a negative way. But it really is linked to your personality and your identity. I mean, it becomes your identity, and it certainly has that. That's just why I'm keeping the name,
Yeah.
right? Even though it's not coffee, because I don't want to start a startup again.
Yeah.
So that was an exciting time, but then. But then quickly you got into, it got harder, of course, for the next couple of years because you had to build the business, you had to manage staff. It was all new. It was all You had to work, I was working 7 days a week for a lot of weeks that time early on. It's hard, real hard work, you know what I mean? But after 2 years, it planed out, and then I went on a trip, and then I felt really good and all that. At the end of it, the context was different. It was the end of last year. 2023 was a very trying year for me. I think I made a few mistakes with some people. I think I was just losing control with in my personal and professional life in the first half of last year, which I had to bring back. But then I put the cafe on the market, and it all happened impeccably at the end. Okay, but I was just working an incredible amount and trying to block out a lot of things because of the workload I have to have because I was selling, so I couldn't hire new staff. Because I was selling and all that. Luckily, everything happened to plan. It happened on the absolute day. And that's generally this whole episode has been like that. I haven't had major disappointments like that. I've had some major issues, episodes like the car coming through the front window, for example. That's a pretty big one. But we brassed that out,
Yeah.
So at the end, I was thinking, oh, I'm glad it's done. But it was a case of, yeah, at the end, I think the main thing to say at the end of it was, that in between period of I'm glad it's done and I have no regret. But that's where the fear kind of came in a little bit. But I've actually looked back at my first of the first quarter of this year and found it incredibly productive. But at the time, I was thinking, oh, I wasn't thinking of that. I was doing a lot of things, right? Planning the trips and tying up the business and all that sort of stuff. It's now that I've come back that I've actually realized that I have almost everything I want in life. All the way through, but I have to say, all the way through, I've always been grateful for what I have. Right? I've learned to be that because there's one or two other things that I could probably have thought would be good, like a little more money, for example. But generally, because in the hospitality industry, I mean, it's not, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I've gone off around the world and people and I travel a lot and I post about it and he goes, oh, he's got a lot of money. No, I've just learned how to do it, live the, but with little money, I've hacked it a little bit. Do you know what I mean? So I'm genuinely thankful for what I have, but And I think that I wouldn't change much in my life at all, even if I had a lot more money, right? And I think that's the sign of that's how I'm feeling right now, is that
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for what I have now, and I think that of what I have, and I've this experience, this 10-year experience, has made me has enriched me and made me more valuable to others. It means I can, compared to 10 years, 11 years ago, I've got a lot more to bring to the table and to others,
Nice.
to add value to other people's lives. That's how I feel about it.
Nice.
I'm starting to speak like a kind of wellness guru, like Tony Robbins here, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I got it. I got
Do
it.
you know what I mean? Because
Yeah.
that's ultimately what it is. It's like, what worth are you to other people? So it's the ikigai we're talking about as well. You know, what can you bring to others in their lives? You know, what's your use in, what's your purpose in life?
It's important. But the fact that you notice the evolution, that you are able to take a step back and see the evolution of where you were, and to evaluate honestly without, filters, okay, the good and the bad and whatever there is out there, it's a huge sign of development, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
I think you got, you know, Miles Davis said that, his quote is, I've got to change. It's like a curse. Okay. And I agree with that. You've got to change to be happy. You've got to roll with the changes and anticipate them, because otherwise you'll be rolled by them. Right. That's how people get into trouble. Okay. Especially, and even more so if you're an entrepreneur, you'll be changed, and you can get into very sticky situations if you don't anticipate things. And so I'm trying to roll with the changes, and I think that's the and I think I'm happy that I'm still adept at doing it, but I haven't got to the next project yet. But that's where and this will change. I'll have my highs and my lows, but I think that's the most important lesson of all. It's like, anticipate the changes and try and roll with them. Yeah, to try and stay and keep your life in check. You know, it's easier for us. It's easier for us in you know, in Western Europe to do that, because we don't live under a in a country or countries which are affected by war or major events at the moment. Do you know what I mean? So it's easy for me to say that, but we've got to be thankful for that, because we know that lots of people in this world are not living under these circumstances, and they're still making it through. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
The reference to Miles Davis is very important, because he's when he played a certain genre from bebop to hard bop, and afterwards, and he moved on with the different bands, he never played the stuff from the past. Never.
No, he
And
hated it.
he was always at the edge of the new things coming up. That's why, with albums like The Bitches Brew
Oh
and
yeah.
Silent Way and all these things,
Radical.
he was way ahead of the other ones.
And he was
And
hated for
he,
that at the time.
yes,
You
he
know?
was. And even in the 80s, when he was into rap and things like that, working with rappers, he was ahead of the time. It's only at his last album, the recorded at Montreux, that he played some stuff from The Birth of the Cool.
That's
With
why I saw
Quincy
the
Jones.
concert when Quincy came on
Yeah,
stage.
with Quincy Jones, yeah.
Yeah, because he knew that was the final months before his death, right?
Yeah, something like that, yes.
1981.
Yes.
I saw that recently, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
so change, very important. You know,
Yes.
eternal spring. It's very
Yes.
important. That's how you stay young. I mean, I could say, I mean, I could talk about it now, but most of the time, my mind is obviously not thinking, oh, I'm really happy. I'm just, my mind is whirring like an artist. It's just hyperactive. Do you know what I mean? Your things, but you have to sometimes stop and, you know, it's, I think I'm glad we're getting to this age now, actually, in general. There are people actually appreciating themselves more.
Yes.
I think they call it self-love, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's important. You know, I think it's important to actually say, yeah, well, actually, you've done some things well. I think you've done some good things. I think you're good, you know, rather than beating yourself up all the time, especially if you like, you know, like me, and you grew up in, you know, sort of 70s and 80s England, where it wasn't the case at all. You know, I mean, it was like a different time in France as well. It was the
Yes.
same as well. It's like very hierarchical, very authoritarian, you know, the Japanese sort of, you know, metaphor, if a hammer sticks up, nail it down type sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's very bourgeois, actually.
Yeah.
And we've come out of that now, and people are actually saying, yeah, it's actually okay to like myself.
Yes,
and
you're
appreciate what I
allowed
have.
to.
So that's where I am. Right. Yeah,
You're
so that's
allowed
where
to.
the genesis of this change is happening in my life and in my projects, right?
Sounds great. We'll
So
look forward to the next one, to the next step.
great.
Actually,
So
for the
look, yes.
launch, we'll do something for the launch when you
We
launch
should
it.
do. I think
Yeah,
we should.
when you launch
I
it.
would love to as well, because you've got also a wonderful collection of wine people on your podcast as well, in
Yes.
on your entourage as well. So that'd be nice.
Yeah, we're documenting your life. We're gonna do
Oh
a
gosh.
documentary on Shana Galhenagy and his
Oh, it
evolution
sounds like
from.
a. I sound yeah. You make me sound like a bored Russian peasant, middle of nowhere, don't you? Nothing, I don't know. Anyway.
So lots of adventures ahead, that's for sure.
Always, always.
So we're getting close to the end and finishing with the people questionnaire. People, you can check the previous answers to see if there's any kind of evolution.
There's only one I
So,
want to change, but anyway, maybe. But
yeah.
it's interesting to see now after my, because it, I think we spoke almost a year ago. We did speak about a year ago now.
Yeah,
I seem to
a bit
remember.
more than that, yeah.
And of course, yeah, my life's changed a lot. So let's go.
Yeah, let's go here. Are you ready? Okay, what's your favorite word?
I don't know. Gosh, I don't have one.
Don't try to remember what you said, just what
I
comes to your mind now.
didn't, but I don't have one. I have to come back to that one.
Okay, what's your least favorite word?
My least three favorite words.
Fair enough.
Okay, link in bio.
What's your favorite word?
Favorite word, I've got it. Opiophine.
And can you elaborate a
Because
little bit on that? Because
it's a
I'm.
fascinating thing I found, actually. It's like opiophine is a substance, a mucus found on your tongue that
Yes.
excites you. Right, so when you eat, it sets off a pleasure hormone or whatnot in your brain. That's why you're happy when you eat, because when you eat something you like, because it's on your tongue. And I discovered this, which I think was great, and something that yes, yeah, so opiophine.
Okay.
I read about it, a couple of years ago actually, and yeah, and normally I've got really bad memory for any words, but that one stuck with me because I thought, yeah. And also, when you brush your tongue with your toothbrush as
Yes.
well, you actually feel better. Well, I do anyway. This is getting way out
This
now,
is
but
getting somewhere.
trust
We're
me, because it's
getting
true.
yeah. We're getting somewhere we don't
Opiophine.
want
No, don't worry. I'm not getting sexy here, right?
to
It is, but it's yeah. So the pleasure of eating, the pleasure, that's being declenched by eating something that a food that you like, right, is apparently due to a mucus that's on our or some kind of thing on our tongue.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll take your word for that.
Look it up.
Yeah, we check it. Wikipedia. Yeah. Your favorite
Right.
virtue?
Always hasn't changed. It's loyalty.
Okay. Favorite quality in a woman?
Same thing. I think male or female, I think it's I suppose anything means honesty and loyalty, but I do like femininity as well.
What wine, coffee, or dish would you use to describe yourself?
Oh, here we go. Oh, this is opiophene. A friend of mine last year totally broke my prejudice about a certain type of wine, cépage, right? Introduced me to French through an accident, actually, for a miscommunication. But I'll spare you the story. But Syrah, French Syrah, because I hate Shiraz, okay?
Yes.
Grapes. The kind of peppery kind of taste, all that. I really don't enjoy that. But Syrah in France is absolutely sublime. So anything with the cépage Syrah has been my new favorite thing for the last year.
Okay.
Okay. Favorite coffee still has to be a Panama, Panama Geisha, which is flawless. That will never change. It's just absolutely incredible, right?
Okay, and dish?
It's got to be my own potato gratin with lots of garlic. It's like a gratin dauphinois, but it's kind of been messed with. It's got more garlic, more onions, more cream, and you could add some bacon to it as well.
So basically, you're telling me you went to cooking school in India, you went to Thailand, you went to Japan. You went to the U okay, US, forget about it. But those places are high culinary places. And you
Sure.
tell me potato gratin?
Right now,
It's like, oh, fair enough.
it's not, but it's not just any old. I mean, I could say that.
You know, it's
You
fine.
make it sound like I'm talking about mashed potatoes, all right? But no, I am my gratin is incredible.
Okay, but it means something.
Which is why it's surnamed. It could be actually coming to the new bars world called Slaty Gratin. Anyway, right?
Because the comfort food of home, of where you are, you can love all the foods in the world, but the things that, get you grounded in food is still going to be, it's cultural, it's your history, it's
Sure, I
your
love the curry,
childhood.
You've got to understand the context as we're speaking now. I've been 6 weeks around the world, right? Taking 14 flights, eating out a lot. And I think why I'm at, and it's quite cool in Paris right now. It's cold a little bit. So ultimately, I've been missing home cooking. I think that's where my mind is now. I mean, we can laugh about this in the future when we come back to this episode. Yes, oh God, gratin,
No, no, well, actually, I get you.
but that's where my
I
mind is now. It's home cooking,
yes.
proper food,
Yes. What's your favorite smell or aroma?
Oh gosh, there's so many. I mean, there's I could out of the blue, I could be saying orange blossom or white or white musk or jasmine, coffee, perfume, that sort of thing,
Okay. What's your favorite curse word?
gonna have to change it from the last ones, aren't I?
We'll see. Let me know.
There was a, well, I can say, I'm going to change it now to a very British one. I'm going to say something I say, which is kind of a made up thing, something I've made up. It's called a shag sack. Oh,
Oof.
shag sack,
I never heard that one.
No, because it's kind of my little
Oh,
invention.
nice.
But it's my little, curse,
Okay.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you love?
We were talking about jazz, so why don't we say like a good trumpet player? What sound or noise? Right now, kind of bird singing as well, because it's spring.
Yes.
I think the hiss of a good espresso machine as well, the steam one of a good espresso machine is also pretty good when you're walking past it, or walking past a cafe in Italy with which happened to be Naples, with somebody blaring an opera from Puccini out through the windows. That's also a pretty good sound as well.
You kind of have sophisticated taste, huh?
Highbrow and lowbrow. What was the quote? It's like he has a talent for mixing the Byronic with the moronic.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I hate Parisian motorists yelling at each other of their car windows. Or people actually, no, here's it. For some reason, the French are very stressed out at transport hubs, okay?
Yes.
And and when they just when there's either passive aggressivity towards each other or aggressive aggressivity with each other. I hate that kind of sound as well. It's not really a sound, but it's ambience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. What plant or animal would you like to be reincarnated in?
I like this plant thing actually, because it's like because when you say that, it's like the only plant I can think of is like a carnivorous what do they think called it?
The
The ones.
flowers, they open
They
and
eat flower they eat flies and you know what I mean?
I see that.
Carnivorous plants. So I'd love to be a carnivorous plant. I wouldn't actually. I'd like to be like a nice tall English plane tree or something with big leaves that just like nice and tall. Like California redwood, I think would be pretty cool, right?
Yes.
Because as they say, trees keep a lot of secrets, don't they? They see everything.
Yes, they do. They see, yes.
And they don't say anything, do they?
Yeah,
Like
better.
the British Secret Service,
Yes.
But animal, yeah, I think a bird would have to be it. Any type of elegant looking bird would be desirable for me to come back as, because it's the ultimate freedom.
Beautiful. And last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Coffee's ready.
I thought wine.
Well, but there's a smell as well. It's the smell of coffee,
yes.
Yeah, your coffee's on the bar there. Next to Miles Davis, next to Miles Davis is sitting at the bar.
Wow, the best of all worlds, huh?
Of course, yeah. Or not, depending on what mood he's in.
Yes. Oh, yes. With his raspy voice, yes.
Correct. Oh, I love that. That's an instrument in itself.
Yes, it is. It is, yeah, Miles, yes, for sure.
Have you noticed when anyone, have you seen any interviews with people quoting Miles? Anyone,
Yeah,
right?
they're trying
Male
to
or
make
female,
his voice,
they
yes.
all go into his, they all imitate his raspy voice. It's an
Yes,
instrument,
it
right?
is. Definitely, definitely. Shana Galhenage, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure once again.
And thank you for joining us for this new version of the podcast, A Tibber for Two.
Congratulations on its evolution as well, Steve. It's not just me that's changing.
Yeah.
Or evolving. All right.
Yeah. That's painful, yes. Keep safe, be well, faith always, and we'll see you all next time. Thanks, Jana.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You too.